Welcome to the Yes And Podcast, the weekly yap. I'm your host, Travis Thomas. This is episode 5. Episode 5. Wow, we are just kind of cranking through these, having a lot of fun. I know I'm enjoying it. And thank you so much for listening to the weekly yap, the Yes And Podcast. And feel free to share with as many people as you like. I won't be offended. I really won't. So let's get into episode 5. This week, the theme is getting out of your comfort zone / running at the dog. So getting out of the comfort zone and running at the dog. But before we get that, a couple of house cleaning items. I want to thank the West Palm Beach Rotary Club for having me as their guest speaker this past week. I met some really, really cool people and actually excited about some follow-up projects with them as well. So thank you to the West Palm Beach Rotary Club. And also, this is the week of October 26th, which is Halloween week here in the United States. Now, as a kid, I mean, Halloween week was a big week anyway because, you know, it meant free candy. But it's in recent years in America, it's what become the second largest holiday to Christmas as far as from a commercial standpoint. And so I say Halloween week because I'm sure wherever you are, there are Halloween activities happening all week leading up to Saturday night. And the fact that Halloween is a Saturday night makes it even a bigger deal. I know for my 3 kids who are already got their costumes out and they're ready to go. And so a shameless plug, the Jove Improv shameless plug of the podcast. Here it comes. It's coming early. This Friday night, for all of you down here in Florida, this Friday night, 8 p.m. at the Jupiter Performing Arts Center, the Jove Improv, we will be putting on a special Halloween show on a Friday night. So it's great. It'll be family friendly, so you can bring the kids. It'll be a great Friday night show, and then Saturday night, everyone can go off and do their Halloween thing. So it should be a lot of fun. But Halloween week, always a lot of fun. So the weekly yap, our episode for today is get outside of your comfort zone. And now I want to start with an idea from improvisation. Again, I like to connect everything that I'm talking about from the basis of the improvisational principles of improvisation of yes and thus why this is called live yes and. Now, in improvisation, there's this great idea that let's say you come out with another scene partner or a couple of people, and your goal is to establish kind of a foundation to the story as quickly as possible. That's why the idea of yes and is so important. You want to have that yes and agreement so that everybody involved is getting on the same page as quickly as possible. You want to know the who, the what, the why, and the how. Who, what, how, why, and how as quickly as possible so that everyone is operating from the same set of facts or rules. And so once you've created that, it's so much easier to play and create a really dynamic story. But here's where things get interesting. Just like with any movie you would go see or TV show you'd watch, as soon as things are kind of normal or we understand what's going on, an improviser, their brain is kind of trained to do this thing called interrupting the routine. When you want to make sure as soon as you think the audience knows where the scene is going, you want to throw a monkey wrench in there. You want to interrupt the routine, and it's in the interruption of the routine that really makes the story interesting. Because just like anything else, if you were watching a TV show, reading a book, watching a movie, and if nothing really kind of interesting happens, if there's not kind of a disruption of the normal, then it's just kind of a boring story. So likewise, in improvisation, until you interrupt the routine, it's not going to be a very interesting scene. But then once that interruption happens, now we're on to something. How are they going to resolve this problem? What's this new chapter look like? And so as an improviser, you're trained to interrupt the routine. In real life, think of it this way. You might be going through your day-to-day. You might be going through your week-to-week. You might be going through your month-to-month, and things are just kind of on a certain trajectory. Everything is on a certain level or pace. And I think we fool ourselves into thinking that's what we desire. We desire the boring. Why do we go to movies and do all this exciting stuff? Because we want our lives to be boring. We don't want to have to experience all the drama and the excitement that we pay to go see someone else experience. But I think the reality is, and we all understand this, is that as much as we want things to quote unquote be safe and predictable, And that's really what we're looking for. We're looking for the predictability of life so that we can pick and choose how we want to interrupt the routine. But what we know is that that's not the way that life works, is that often the interruption of the routine is not going to be at our choice. It's not going to be at our choosing. And so when that happens, how do we respond to it? And we either kind of respond one or two ways, or we respond both, and hopefully we get from one to the other quickly. But if we respond kind of in the victim mindset or the fixed mindset, the first response is, oh no, this shouldn't be happening. Why me? Why now? Why this? And so when you are kind of in that mindset, again, from a yes and mindset, you're not embracing what is happening, because this is what is happening. And as quickly as we can move into this mindset of yes and how do I am I going to respond to this, that's when we start to make real progress. That's when we really take the twist or the interruption of the routine and make it work for us. But the tricky part is that we don't often look for it to happen. We don't choose for it to happen. It's life kind of throwing us a monkey wrench. But if we thought about that for a second, what if we actually chose to interrupt our routine more often than we do? And if we got into this habit of constantly, and when I say interruption of the routine, it's really kind of choosing to put ourselves outside of our comfort zone. It's noticing the different areas of our life where we are a little cautious or a little tentative, and choosing to go, okay, what might be on the other side of that that hesitance, of that shyness? So if it's someone who is a little bit more of an introvert, now there's nothing wrong with being an introvert. But if you recognize yourself as an introvert and you just want to expand your comfort zone a little bit, you could interrupt your routine or get yourself outside of your comfort zone by let's say going and doing Toastmasters for a week, or having to do something, go take a stand-up comedy class. Something that could be a nudge outside of your comfort zone, or could be a shove outside of your comfort zone. And again, it's not about, you know, creating a new career. It's not about an introvert becoming a stand-up comic. That's possible. But it's about us allowing ourselves to grow and to embrace this idea of discomfort, right? Because that's what happens when our routine is interrupted, is that we're uncomfortable because we are unfamiliar. The familiarity has been broken. And so we find ourselves in a new space that is uncomfortable to us. And our body is kind of a fight or flight, you know, reaction. It either wants to shut down or it wants to run. But what if we got so used to kind of choosing ourselves outside of our comfort zone, where our response when we find ourselves that way, we're actually pretty adaptable, we're really flexible. And so when you think about it this way, you know, if any of you have a normal workout that you do, or you go to the gym, or you go for a run, right? When you work out, when you physically work out, that is basically you choosing to get outside of your comfort zone, right? When you do push-ups, right, or you lift weights, you're putting weight on that bar that is causing resistance. It's actually causing struggle. And that struggle you are choosing because you know that the struggle or the resistance is actually making you stronger, right? If you go for a 2-mile run and the next day you push yourself to a 3-mile run, you're choosing to go further because you know that by pushing yourself through that discomfort, it's actually making you stronger. So we're really good at choosing to be outside of our comfort zone when it comes to physical fitness, because we understand that idea of it's the resistance that makes us stronger. But how can we do that more on a day-to-day basis with the different things in our life that we know are uncomfortable to us? And, you know, whether that's finances or whether that's your career or your relationships, you know, what can we do to nudge ourselves or to take a step outside of our comfort zone, because we know that it's going to make us stronger. It's going to reveal some things to us that grow and expand our sense of authenticity and purpose and identity. And there's a great story. One of my favorite stories. It is from Pema Chodron, is the author, and she's written some fantastic books. She's an American Buddhist monk, and I believe the book is The Things That Scare Us. I'm not positive exactly what book it is, but essentially she tells the story, and I think this may have been of her teacher But it was during war times, I want to say over in Asia, and it was a monastery, and the monks were being moved from one monastery to another monastery. And so they were being ushered along this road, and along the side of the road there were guard dogs with vicious, there were soldiers with vicious guard dogs, and as the monks were kind of being passed walking down the road, these guard dogs are just viciously barking at them, and foam coming out of their mouth and red eyes, you know. And so they're just kind of trying to hurry along down this road and to get to the next, the monastery where there's a gate and, you know, they'll be safe in there. And so they're heading down the road, and all of a sudden you hear a snap and you turn around and this guard dog had broken off this chain and now it's sprinting down the road at these monks. And so they all turn and they start running towards the monastery. And except the one monk. The one monk realizes, you know what, that the gate is too far away. We're not going to make it. So instead of running for the gate, the monk turns around and starts running directly at the dog. Scared to death, but running directly at the dog. The dog is coming. He's running. They're going right at each other. And right as they kind of get nose to nose, that guard dog stops, freezes, and then sits and just totally diffuses its anger. And so what I love about that analogy, right, and hopefully it's something that we can all relate to, is that we all have fears. I have a ton of fears, and they're always sitting. It's like they've got like front row seats. They've got orchestra seats right behind my ear, you know, and as soon as I think that I'm kind of cruising and I'm doing well, and all of a sudden they just kind of chime up and I turn around and, yep, they're still there. They're just hanging out. They're just waiting for me to notice them, and then they're waiting for me to see how I'm going to respond to them. And so what I love about that running at the dog idea is that we can either choose to run at our fears, or we can think that we can outrun our fears. And the reality is that we know that we can't. We cannot outrun our fears, no matter how fast we run, no matter how great we are at hide-and-go-seek. As soon as we turn around and think and check to see if it's okay, the fear is just sitting there waiting for us. It's that dog with its vicious teeth barking at us. And the more we run away from it, the bigger that dog gets because it's always a step behind us. So as far as getting out of our comfort zone, that's all we're doing. We're choosing to run at some dogs in our lives. You know, and it could be a big dog, it could be a smaller dog. But the reality is when we choose to run at our fears become small. And it doesn't mean that we overcome them all at one night. It doesn't mean that we overcome them all at once. But by taking that step, that one step towards that fear, is what we're doing is we're acknowledging instead of being in denial. We're basically yes-anding. We're yes-anding, you know what, this is what I'm afraid of. Yes, and I'm going to take a step towards facing that fear and minimizing the influence that it's having on my life. Because if you want to look at it this way, we basically live life, for the most part, in a way that is managing our fears. Every decision that we make, every choice that we make, everything from our career to our relationships to where we live, it's all based on what am I afraid of and how can I build a life that keeps these fears at bay on the outside and gives me a sense of comfort, right? Comfort, that going back to the idea of comfort again, we believe that if we can just create enough comfort, we're going to be okay. When the reality is that no matter how much comfort we have, if the comfort is being bordered by fears, we still have to face those fears at some point, or we're just going to continue to live in stress and anxiety and fear. So what can we do to pick and choose, to take some of these dogs and just start to run at them? So I've been sitting with that question myself, and there are a number of fears that are showing up sort of that have always kind of shown up. And so I've been asking myself recently, what are those areas that are uncomfortable to me, and how can I pick one or two of them and really start to run at that dog? And that's something that I'm thinking about right now. And hopefully in the next week or two, I am going to have some news to report as far as, hey, here's a dog that I'm running at. Does anyone else want to run at a dog with me? I'd be happy to support you along the way. It reminds me, actually, speaking of running, in Chris McDougall's book, Born to Run. Again, I got to meet Chris a few weeks ago. I think I told you guys about that, which was a lot of fun. But in Born to Run, he's got this great little section where he is, you know, he's interviewed all these amazing ultra runners, and they all kind of talk about the beast. And, you know, the beast is that fear that the runner has, that they feel like the beast is always chasing them, and that beast is fear. It's the fear that they're not going to be able to make it, that they're going to hit their wall and not be able to run past it. And what I loved about these different runners, and they all said it in different ways, is that what they do now is when they go out for their run, instead of running away from the beast, they embrace the beast. They know that if the beast is showing up, that they're doing their job. They're out there. They're on the path. They're doing their work, and the beast is there to remind them that they're doing their work. And I can't remember what runner, but she says, I like to treat the beast as a playful pet. When I'm out there on the run, it's a playful pet that's basically out there saying, hey, you're doing it. And so how cool is that? Is that when we go out, when we are running at the dog, our goal is not to sort of see how far we can go on our own. Our goal is to see what is on the other side of our limits. What is on the other side of our limited beliefs? What is on the other side of our fear? And for any of you athletes out there, you've all experienced that feeling of having to run sprints, and mentally you're saying to yourself, I can't run one more, I can't run one more, and then you have to run one more. And you think to yourself, well, I can't run another one, and then you have to run another one. That was my college soccer experience where I was constantly pushed beyond what I felt I was capable of. And then you get pushed a step beyond it and you realize, wow, I'm capable of so much more than I can do. But being able to sort of run at that dog, run at that beast and go, okay, I want to see what's on the other side of what I think is possible. And as we do that, our comfort zone grows. Every time we take a step beyond our comfort zone grows because we now know that it's okay. Doesn't mean that it felt great, doesn't mean that it wasn't painful, but you survived it. Every time you survive an uncomfortable situation, you have just expanded your comfort zone. And isn't that what life is all about? When you're in the gym and you're doing the bench press and that weight becomes too easy, you now need to increase the weight to increase your discomfort. That's going to make you stronger. And it's so common sense, it's so intuitive, right? But our ego, our fear wants us to stay small and it wants us to stay in our comfort zone. And we know that no growth ever happens inside your comfort zone, ever. And as I work with the soccer kids with the massive soccer club, we are embracing this idea of failure and how am I growing and how am I learning and how am I getting outside of my comfort zone and what does that feel like and it's okay. And we're just trying to cultivate that and embrace that with these under 8 children all the way up to, you know, high school kids that are graduating. So to cultivate that mindset of getting outside your comfort zone, learning through failure and embracing it every step of the way. And that's what living yes and is. That's that yes and mindset. So my challenge to you all this week is in your day-to-day routine, your week-to-week routine, what can you do to step outside your comfort zone? What is a dog that you are willing to run at? And please think about that, ponder that, listen on that. Then send me an email. Send me an email, travislthomas@mac.com. Send me an email, and I want to know what dogs you're running at. I want to know how you're trying to expand your comfort zone. And if you send me an email, I'll definitely respond and support you along the way. Fantastic. I can't wait to hear from you. So that's episode 5, Run at the Dog, Getting Outside of Your Comfort Zone. Just want a reminder again to everyone that coming up mid-November, we are going to have another Yes 101 program. That should be a lot of fun. Go ahead and sign up on the website. It's in the events page on liveyesand.com. Please follow me at liveyesand. I'm on Twitter and Instagram, and my Facebook page is liveyesand. as well as coming up Friday, October 27th, is RAC Friday, Random Acts of Kindness Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. We're going to transform Black Friday into RAC Friday. Go to www.racfriday.com for more information. And have a wonderful, wonderful Yes And Week, everyone. Take care.